This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The drama continues in Omaha. I'm Scott Satterberg. This is live. Oh, not live bet, but we are live betting. It's VSiN Prime Time here on the Sports Betting Network. We are live betting. Already cashed our live best bet on the program with the live total to go over in the Tampa Bay Rays game against the Baltimore Orioles. I love live betting overs in baseball. If you live bet the over in this game between Arkansas and LSU, you could have cashed multiple times. It was a 1-0 game. Arkansas had a lead over LSU going into the sixth inning. You could have live bet an over 4.5. Could have live bet an over 5.5 when LSU took a 2-1 lead in the bottom of the sixth inning. And then you could have live bet an over 6.5 when Arkansas proceeded to then take a 3-2 lead over LSU. So it was 1-0, then 2-1, then 3-2. LSU then ties it with a Jared Jones solo home run in the bottom of the eighth. And now we are at 3-3 in the top of the ninth here in Omaha. This is the elimination game for Arkansas and a trip to the championship series on the line for LSU. If LSU wins, the championship is set. LSU against Coastal Carolina, game one on Saturday. If Arkansas wins, Arkansas and LSU will do it all over again coming up tomorrow. These were the two top teams coming into the tournament. Arkansas was your favorite to win the championship prior to game number one. LSU was your second favorite. Once LSU beat Arkansas in that first game, LSU became your favorite and maintained their status as the favorite as they continued to win. But after an ground out to start the inning, Robinette singles to center field. And so Arkansas does have the go-ahead run on first with one out, top of the ninth inning in Omaha. Your live line right now, LSU minus 145. They're the home team. They get up here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Major League Baseball, the Yankees will look to tie it or win it here in the bottom of the ninth, trailing 3-2 against the Angels as the offensive woes continue for the Bombers. So, yeah, they did snap their scoreless streak at 30 consecutive innings, but they still have not produced anything offensively. Two runs tonight on two solo home runs, one by Jazz Chisholm, which snapped the scoreless drought, one by Cody Bellinger, and that's it. The Yankees, those two runs came on those two hits. The Yankees have three hits in this game. Three hits in this game. That's it. And in the bottom of the eighth inning, had runners on first and second with nobody out and couldn't produce a run and couldn't even get a runner over to third with less than two outs. And instead, Yankees find themselves in this spot, trailing 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth inning. We have two games that are about to get underway. We have bets on one of them and multiple bets on one of them. The Astros will take on the A's in Sacramento. We are moments away from first pitch there. Framber Valdez on the mound for the Astros, and Luis Severino gets the start for the Athletics. And Severino's got some of the craziest home road splits you will ever see. At home this, or let's just start on the road, because this guy has been a Cy Young candidate on the road this year. Luis Severino has made six road starts this year. In those six starts, he is 2-0 with a 0.93 ERA. Opponents are batting 194 against Severino when he starts on the road this year. But at home, at Sutter Health Park in Sacramento, nine starts for Severino, 0-6 with a 7.10 ERA. Opponents are batting 291 against him. There's clearly an explanation for this. Now, I'm just speculating here, but we know that it's not just about the ball flying in Sacramento. We've had multiple pitchers come out and talk about how bad the mound is in Sacramento. How, remember, there was that article that was written in The Athletic after the Phillies played there where Zach Wheeler was talking about how you can't get your landing foot down. And it's just the mound is in terrible shape. And so if these pitchers are having difficulties with their plant foot, and for a guy like Luis Severino, if he can't plant and his ball stays elevated, that could be a major issue for him, and he's getting hit a lot more when he stays up in the zone. And so that's why he's likely one of the reasons, I'm sure there's other reasons, but he is having his struggles at home in Sacramento. So I'm on the Astros on the run line, minus 1.5. And right now you take a look at that line and you can get it at minus 122 up on DraftKings, I am also on the Astros on their team total for this game. And there are multiple ways that you can get at this. You can get at the team total for the Astros at over 5.5 runs at minus 105. I do think that they score 6 runs at least in this game. They scored 13 yesterday here in Sacramento. Or you can just look to fade Luis Severino specifically and look at the first 5 innings of this game and look to bet the team total for the Houston Astros to go over in the first 5 innings. First 5 inning team total for the Houston Astros is going to be, let's see, as that goes off the board, it should have been, if their team total is 5.5 for the game, should have been at least 2.5 for the first 5 innings, probably juiced at the over 2.5, but I would absolutely go over that as well, as this game is underway, so it just disappeared from my betting screen. And so we are on the Houston Astros run line, Astros team total to go over. Also about to get underway 5 minutes from now in L.A., the Dodgers hosting the Padres. Emmett Sheehan makes his long-awaited return from the IL, taking the ball for the Dodgers. Steven Kolek gets the start for the Padres. The Dodgers, overwhelming favorites, minus 207. Your total is at 9.5. And that's just too rich of a price for me to pay backing Emmett Sheehan. This has nothing to do with the quality of pitcher that Emmett Sheehan is. It has everything to do with just not wanting to back a guy that hasn't stepped foot on a major league mound since 2023 in the postseason. October 7th, 2023, against the Diamondbacks. That was the last time we saw Emmett Sheehan on a major league mound. And so I can't back this guy, certainly not at that price. I know the Padres lineup's a little bit weaker now, but still, I do like Steven Kolek. He has put in some nice performances here for the Padres as of late, certainly. So he's a guy that I'm a little bit more comfortable backing. And when I say that the Padres lineup is a little weaker now, is because Jackson Merrill is not in the lineup. So obviously you'd want Jackson Merrill in the lineup anytime you're back in the Padres, but I do think that the Padres can certainly get the job done. You get a nice plus money price on the Padres, plus 168. But if you want the cushion, just plus a run and a half, minus 119 odds on Padres, plus 1.5 runs if you want to go about it that way. Meanwhile, Arkansas has taken a 5-3 lead over LSU in the top of the ninth. Back and forth we go in Omaha, and now I am just sweating the total. Because whether Arkansas scores more or LSU scores in the bottom of the ninth, I am sweating out this under right now. This was a 1-0 game in the sixth inning. Now Arkansas with a 5-3 lead in the top of the ninth inning. The Razorbacks on the live line, heavy favorites, of course. And we're just hoping that this game ends with no more runs being scored. I guess we can afford a couple of runs, but no, we don't even want it to happen. Arkansas, if they go on to win this game, these two teams will play again coming up tomorrow. Live line right now is the Razorbacks. They're minus 1,300, my goodness, on the live line here as they have a 5-3 lead, still batting in the top of the ninth inning against LSU. Yankees are down to their final out as Anthony Volpe is up with 2 outs here and a runner on first in the bottom of the ninth inning against Kenley Jansen, seeing if Volpe can come through. If he does, it would be a nice way for him to make up for the error that caused the Yankees to lose this game. And I'm not saying there's, obviously it doesn't come down to one play here, but and Volpe strikes out swinging. Kenley Jansen gets the strikeout. The Yankees lose once again. 6 straight losses for the Yankees. This one, they were north of minus 250 favorites. They at least snapped their scoring drought, but they lose 3-2 to the Los Angeles Angels, and the go-ahead run scored in the top of the eighth inning after the Angels had bases loaded with 1 out and a ground ball to Anthony Volpe that could have, and in most eyes should have, been an inning-ending double play. Volpe booted it, threw the ball away. The Angels scored the go-ahead run on the Anthony Volpe error there, and the Yankees' Tim Hill was on the mound, wound up getting out of the inning with no more runs allowed, and then the Yankees just didn't score. Bottom of the eighth had 2 runners on, nobody out, didn't score. Bottom of the ninth had a runner on, nobody out, didn't score. Aaron Judge goes 0-for-4, had a chance in the eighth inning with the runners on base, but flies out to deep center. So a bad loss here, another bad loss for the New York Yankees, as it's just going from bad to worse there in the Bronx. So that game concludes now as the only games in progress we have going to the top of the seventh inning. The Rockies with a 1-0 lead over the Nationals. This game had a lengthy rain delay, had a high total of 9.5, but with the lengthy rain delay, both of these offenses appear to be a little bit sleepy in this game. The one run scoring on Otoglia, a solo home run, that's the only run in that game. Meanwhile, the Reds have added more runs. It is a 4-1 lead over the Twins in the bottom of the third inning as Bailey Ober's struggles continue. I mean, this he is having a very, very rough season. As for our Ellie De La Cruz, over 1.5 bases bet, not looking good. He strikes out to start the inning here, but then Steer doubles. Steer already with a home run in this game. Steer doubles, and then Benson singles in him to score the fourth run of the game. So 4-1, the Reds lead the Twins right now in the bottom of the third inning there in Cincinnati. Taking a look at a live total for that game as it is now at 10.5 minus 121 to the over. Hey, everybody can get a hit except for Ellie. Come on. Let's get a hit here, Ellie. Preferably a double. Score, get over 1.5 total bases. The Rays, meanwhile, have taken a 9-8 lead over the Orioles in the bottom of the seventh inning. Royals, a 4-3 lead over the Rangers, in the top of the seventh. Coming up next, we will transition to the NBA Finals. Our very own Zachary Cohn will join me, Scott Seidenberg, as we preview Game 6 tomorrow between the Thunder and the Pacers. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime, I'm Scott Seidenberg here with you. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. You can hit up our next guest on Twitter at BettingOnX. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, our very own Zachary Cohn. You read his incredible work at VSiN.com as we preview Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Zach, thanks so much for joining us. We have a little bit of spread drama between the Thunder and the Pacers as we move from 5.5 to 6.5. In favor of the Thunder laying the points, and understandably because of the uncertainty surrounding Tyrese Haliburton. What's the latest that you're seeing on Halley and your expectations of his availability here for Game 6?
Well, I think that there were some quotes this morning that said that Haliburton, they're preparing to play without him. But I think at the same time, Carlisle said they're preparing to play with him and without him. They're going to be ready to go no matter what. So I think that kind of got taken out of context. I think he's a game time decision. I've seen some videos of him running around looking decent. I'd be surprised if he does not play. The question is, as I said to you off the air, I'm not sure if they're better off with him playing injured or just playing McConnell and Nembhard more and, giving them bigger roles with the ball in their hands, because this team is in such good shape at the point guard position where it's not like a normal team where you get the big drop off when a superstar is out. You're putting in a player that, McConnell has been their best point guard for two straight games now.
To that extent, would we be looking to attack some TJ McConnell props?
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for some news before that, but I do think that McConnell props would be a good way to go. I think that Siakam over on assists is another way to go, just because he's a really good passer and they do put the ball in his hands a lot. I could see them giving him a bigger usage rate in this game if Haliburton's out. And I like Obi Toppin again to go over 10.5 points, which is something we've seen him do two games in a row. Miles Turner continues to struggle in this series, just not really moving his feet well enough defensively, not knocking down threes. I think we're going to see bigger minutes from Toppin again, especially with this being a home game where, Toppin's going to shoot the ball a little bit better, provide a little bit in transition, and also, a little bit as a rim runner and an attacker of the basket. He's very, very quick, and the Thunder are having trouble staying in front of him.
We've seen an adjustment just yesterday. TJ McConnell's point prop was at 9.5. Now it is up to 10.5. It is juiced at the under, but it is at 10.5, and I guess that's just every day it's going to change here with the uncertainty or until we get a final word on Tyrese Haliburton's availability, if he's going to start and how many minutes he's going to play in this game. You mentioned, are they better off with or without Haliburton? I'm not necessarily sold on Halley as a star player. I think I've made my opinions well known. I don't want to say I'm a Tyrese Haliburton hater. I just I've been making some money on the point PRAs going under in this series. I'm going to look to attack every under on Tyrese Haliburton in this game, because even if he does play Zach, he's not going to play the full complement of minutes. And for some reason, in my mind, I see this game getting out of hand. And if that's the case, we know Halliburton's going to play even less minutes. So I'm going to be on all Hallie unders here.
I don't think it's going to get out of hand. I'm personally on the Pacers in this game. I think it's going to be a little bit close. But I do think there's a world in which Halliburton starts and doesn't end up playing a lot in the second half. I mean, this is a player that, even when he's at his healthiest, is attackable on the defensive end. He's not a good defender. I do think that part of the Thunder game plan is getting him into actions and running at him. Well, when he is injured, they're going to keep attacking him even more. So they're going to try to play him off the floor. And if he's not like living up to his normal standard offensively, Carlisle's going to yank him. Like I said before, they have better options than a 50% Haliburton. So if he's not playing up to his usual self, doesn't look right, I just don't see him playing, you know, 35 plus in this game.
So what do the Pacers have to do to change the results from what we saw in game number 5 and keep this close and give themselves a chance to win?
They need to take care of the basketball. I mean, that was a 2-point game with 8 minutes and 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and Nembhard had two really bad turnovers, one of them which went the other way for a pick 6. I just think that they need to control the tempo of this game. They need to keep, you know, the Thunder from getting runouts for easy buckets. And I do think they just need to do a better job of defending the 3-point line. But that's something that I expect to take care of itself with this being a road game. One of the big things that I wrote over at VSiN.com is just this Oklahoma City team was 0-8 against the spread before game 4 when playing on the road in these playoffs. I don't even think they should have covered in that game. We saw Mathurin with those 2 away from the play fouls, the 3 missed free throws late in that game. Like, it really should have been 0-9 against the spread on the road. So I don't really trust this Thunder team offensively still. For as good as Jalen Williams looked in game 5, for as good as Chet Holmgren has looked at times throughout this series, this is a team that has, you know, had unproven shot making outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And especially when you're talking about 3-point shooting from some of the role players like Wallace and Wiggins, those guys were factors again in game 5. They were not trustworthy at all in games 3 and game 4, to the point that Mark Daigneault couldn't even play them. So if those guys are not confident in knocking down shots in game 6, I think the Pacers are going to be able to keep this close.
Talking to our very own Zach Cohen, read his incredible work at VSiN.com. You can follow him at Betting on X. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime as we take a look at game 6 of the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow. You just mentioned it, Zach, the struggles shooting for the Oklahoma City Thunder, especially from 3-point range in game number 4. It reversed itself in game 5, and that's natural going from on the road to being at home. If we expect the shooting to regress once again now that we are back in Indy, any specific players that we want to go under a 3-point prop on?
I mean, I'd maybe be looking at the guys I just mentioned, like Wallace and Wiggins. Okay. I mean, the numbers are going to be really small to begin with, so it's going to be tough to do it. But I could see, you know, Wiggins not even knocking down one. I mean, he did not miss in that game 5, but he's not going to be quite as confident going on the road. And I think these are guys that played 9 minutes in game 4. So, like I said, if they're not knocking down shots and they're not giving their coach confidence, they're not going to play. The last game we saw these teams play in Indiana, it was 6 guys playing for the Thunder, and I do think we're going to see that again. So I think maybe looking at the unders with some of the guys that are on the outskirts of the rotation is a smart way to attack it.
Plus money prices on both Aaron Wiggins and Cason Wallace to go under a 0.5. So if they go 0-3 or 0-4, whatever their shooting is, you get plus money on both of those players if you want to go under. And if you want to go under on Shea, under 1.5, you want to go under on Lu Dort, under 1.5 also at plus money for Lu Dort. Well, Jalen Williams was the star of game number 5. So what do we expect to see from him in game number 6? Is that something that maybe Mark Daigneault and the Thunder figured out, giving the ball more to Jalen Williams, having him being the primary ball handler, bringing the ball up the floor and being the main focal point of the offense other than Shea? Or do we expect it to then drop down to the Pacers, who have been very good defensively in their own right in making adjustments? We all know how good Rick Carlisle is as a head coach. Do they make the adjustment now? What do we expect from Jalen Williams here?
I think we're going to see another big Williams game, because I just do think that it was a strategic plan to get the ball out of SGA's hands a little bit more. I think they were just putting a little bit too much on the MVP in this series, and they realized they have a really good second option. So I think Williams can kind of be trusted to score again. It's the guys like Chet and Dort and Caruso that I don't expect to play very well on the road. So I do kind of think that Williams has figured this out, but I don't know. I just think that this is a game that, you know, the Pacers are going to be able to score on the Thunder playing at home. And one thing I will add is I do think that the total has dropped a little bit too much, because if Haliburton is out, I don't think they're going to be playing much slower with TJ McConnell in there. I think McConnell is a guy that likes to get up the floor, try to get some easy buckets, and the Thunder just have had a lot of trouble keeping him out of the paint. So I saw it go down to 222.5. I thought it was worth mentioning that is a pretty steep drop when you're talking about a team that's still going to want to play fast.
And dropped even more, Zach, 221.5 here at Circa at 222. And I kind of lean with you. I know historically game sixes go under. Right, the later you get in a series, the more the unders hit. Game sixes and game seven, but this has been an over series. And if you just look at, as you mentioned, the pace that these teams play at, even without Haliburton, I still think they're going to run up and down the floor. So I do like the over with you as well. Zach, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Great article at vsin.com. We'll continue to read, and good luck with your bets. I know you got that Pacers future. I'm not going to ask you about any hedging opportunities. I know you're riding the Pacers here in this game. So good luck to you, my friend.
It was just Eastern Conference, so I'm out. I'm good there.
All right, there he is, our very own Zach Cohen. Hit him up on Twitter at BettingOnX. Read his incredible work at vsin.com as he joined us there on the Progressive Guest Line previewing Game 6 of the NBA Finals. I talked about that total dropping down to 221. Here at Circa is at 222. And yes, Game 6s do historically go under, but not in recent years. I have some trends that might open your eyes a little bit to what we can expect to see here in game number 6 of the NBA Finals. But if you want to know where the real money is going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving the insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings providing a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. You can see the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. Again, that's vsin.com/subscribe. I mentioned trends when it comes to game 6 of the NBA Finals, not just about the total in this game, but also why this series will end tomorrow night. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. It's prime time here on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSIN Prime Time on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wow. I mean, I'm speechless. I am speechless. LSU just walks off against Arkansas to advance to the College World Series final against Coastal Carolina. That's not why I'm speechless. That's why I'm speechless in how it happened. Arkansas, we talked about this game going back and forth and how crazy the drama was in Omaha. Arkansas had a 5-3 lead going into the ninth inning after scoring two runs to take a lead in the top of the eighth. LSU tied the game in the bottom of the eighth, 3-3 going to the top of the ninth. Arkansas scores two runs in the top of the ninth to make it a 5-3 game. And in the bottom of the ninth inning, first batter strikes out. Second batter reaches on a single that advanced to second on an error, a bad throwing error. Okay, so that's a play that should have been made, but it wasn't. Next batter walks. It's first and second with one out. Taylor made double play ball to the shortstop that he, for some reason, does not try and get the double play. It goes down as a fielder's choice with only one out being recorded. The next batter with two outs hits a line drive to left field where the left fielder misplays it, falls down while running after it, and dives to make the catch. It goes off of his glove and his head and whatever and bounces away, allowing two runs to score to tie the game for LSU. And then with two outs, a bloop line drive that goes off the leaping second baseman's glove into the outfield as LSU stuns Arkansas and wins 6-5. I am speechless right now. I cannot believe how Arkansas just lost that game. We also have to say, you got to feel for these kids. I mean, these are still college kids playing this game right now. But just baffling stuff right there in Omaha. First off, for that shortstop, turn the double play, the game's over. But okay, you want to play it safe? All right, play it safe. And then for the left fielder, you're up by two runs. There's runners on first and second, right? Or first, at that point, it was, I believe it was first and, yeah, it was first and third, whatever. At that point, all you got to do is just let the ball bounce in front of you, field it, and throw it in. Live to play another at bat. It'll be a 5-4 game. Concede the one run and just field the ball and throw it in. But instead, he jumps. It was first and second. He jumps and dives and makes a bad play even worse as the ball goes off of his diving head or whatever into the corner, scoring two runs to tie the game. That is just, that's a heartbreaker. If you had the under 10.5, that is a ridiculous loss for you. If you had the under 11 like I did, that's a ridiculous push. I tweeted out too, and you guys can follow me on Twitter at Scott's On Air. If I lost that under 11, that would be the loss that might get me to never bet college baseball again. I mean, my goodness. This line got bet up to 11. It was a 1-0 game in the sixth inning, and it winds up being 11 runs scored. Wow. If you had under 10.5, my condolences. If you had over 10.5, what a miracle win. And if you had Arkansas money line like I did, that is just a tough, tough loss here. But LSU advances now to the final series where they will take on Coastal Carolina with game one coming your way on Saturday. Live, the market is out right now. LSU -190, Coastal +155. That is the market for the College World Series Championship Series. LSU -190. Coastal +155. And I know that Coastal has won 26 consecutive games, but after seeing LSU win this game, it just feels like this is the team of destiny right now, right? How did they win this game? How? That is unbelievable. Wow. Incredible stuff there at Omaha. High drama there at the College World Series. Congratulations to LSU. Good luck against Coastal Carolina this weekend. Should be a phenomenal series. But you got to feel for these kids from Arkansas that had this game multiple times, had the win, and gave it away. My goodness. Wow. My goodness. Anyway, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network. Last segment, we were joined by our very own Zachary Cohen to preview Game 6 of the NBA Finals coming your way tomorrow. And I teased out some trends that I found pretty interesting, taking a look at some of the historical aspects of this situation that we're in coming up here for Game 6 tomorrow. So we know that Game 6s and Game 7s, like the later you go in a series, it normally plays towards the under. Historically, a Game 6 under has been an incredible trend. 66% unders in Game 6 of an NBA playoff series. And that goes back to 2002. As far back as the database goes, 66% unders in Game 6 of a playoff series. But in recent years, it hasn't exactly been the case. If you go back to the post-COVID season, 2021, post-bubble, we're 16-15 to the under in game sixes of a playoff series, but 8-2 to the over in the last 10 game sixes. So recent history has been the overs in game sixes. Now, I found that fascinating. The total here has been bet down because, obviously, the uncertainty about Tyrese Haliburton, plus just the historical aspect of Game 6s traditionally going under. But maybe this total, as we talked about with Zach last segment, maybe this total has been bet down too much. And so taking a look at the over at 221.5 might actually be the play for this game. I think there's been too much of an adjustment on the total going under. Even though, again, historically, that's been the side, but recent history, it hasn't. As I mentioned, 8 of the last 10 game sixes have gone over the number. But speaking of game sixes, let's talk about where we are from a spread perspective. And I get it, the line moves from Thunder minus 5 to Thunder minus 6.5 with, of course, the uncertainty of Tyrese Haliburton, so I get that. But even before the Haliburton news, they were 5-point favorites on the road, the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is pretty rare when you think about it, right? Because in a game six of a playoff series, we have to acknowledge that both teams at least have 2 wins, and the teams are closer than we would expect. Because the series doesn't go 6 or 7 games if the teams aren't closer. If one team is so far better than the other team, the series ends in 4 or 5 games. To have it go 6 games, to have a team win 2 games, at least 2 games, there has to be some sort of market adjustment. But when there's no market adjustment, and there really hasn't been here, even though the Pacers are home, even though the Pacers have won 2 games in this series, the Thunder still opened at 5-point favorites on the road. The fact that there hasn't been a big adjustment goes to show me that it means the favorite is still power rated and the market telling us that they're far and away better than the opposition. And so going back through history and looking at road favorites in game number six, it makes total sense why these teams, 40 and 15 straight up, 34, 20 and 1 against the spread. It's because they're the better teams. They usually win and they usually cover. And when those teams are up 3-2, so with the chance to go on the road as a favorite and close out the series, 31 and 11 straight up, 28 and 14 against the spread, winning by over 8 points per game. 7-2 in the last 9 tries. Worth noting, though, that one of the losses was this year. The Thunder lost game 6 in Denver. But when the market doesn't adjust, when we look at the history of these favorites on the road in game 6, it makes sense to me. Because if you are still a heavy road favorite in game number 6 of a playoff series, it means you lost a game you probably shouldn't have lost. And yes, the Thunder lost game 1 where they shouldn't have lost. And so now here in game 6 of the series, even with a full strength Tyrese Haliburton, Thunder closed this out. So I like the Thunder to close it out, and I obviously would love to wait until Tyrese Halliburton's announced in to see if the market reacts accordingly and we can get a better number than minus 6.5 on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. We'll check in on the live baseball scores in progress, plus get your best bets for the games coming up here on Wednesday, including NBA Finals game number 6. Who are we betting on from a prop perspective? Well, I'll tell you about it coming up next. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network. We have a couple of finals in Major League Baseball, including the Tampa Bay Rays finishing off the 8-run comeback against the Orioles. Tampa was down 8-0 in the second inning. They scored 12 unanswered runs and beat the Orioles 12-8. I mean, you could have live bet every single total over in this game. Our best bet on the program that we were tracking live is when it was 8-0 in the second inning, we live bet the over 15.5. We got 20 runs in this game. My goodness. Rays with an all-time epic comeback, 12-8 win over the Orioles. A couple of games in progress right now as the Rockies have a 3-1 lead over the Nationals in the top of the ninth inning in a game that was had a major long rain delay. Same thing with the Reds and the Twins in Cincinnati. Reds with a 4-2 lead over the Twins in the bottom of the sixth inning. Top of the ninth in Texas, the Rangers with a 6-3 lead over the Rangers. And in the bottom of the fourth, the Guardians have opened up a 4-0 lead over the Giants as Justin Verlander has not been as solid as he had hoped for in his return from the IL as he gives up a 3-run home run to Schneeman there in the top of the fourth inning. So Guardians with a 4-0 lead over the Giants. Astros and A's are tied at one, bottom of the third inning in Sacramento, and the Padres with an early 1-0 lead over the Dodgers, top of the third inning there in LA. So keeping an eye on what's going on in all of the Major League Baseball games in progress right now. We had a couple of games that were postponed due to weather. Pirates and Tigers did not play today. They'll have a double dip coming up tomorrow. Cardinals and White Sox and Brewers Cubs also postponed. Speaking of the Tigers game and the Pirates, do we have a doubleheader tomorrow? Tarek Skubal scheduled to go for the Tigers. Tomorrow was a normal scheduled day for Paul Skenes to pitch. We could have or could have had a Paul Skenes, Tarek Skubal game. This is what we want. These are the two best pitchers in Major League Baseball. Please, Tigers and Pirates, figure it out. Because right now, on the official, I don't know, what do you want to call it, official? There's multiple different sites that will have different pitching matchups. Game one scheduled for a 1:10 Eastern time start. Scheduled to be the same matchup that we were supposed to have here tonight. Tarek Skubal for the Tigers, Andrew Haney for the Pirates. Game number two, Paul Skenes for the Pirates, no announced pitcher yet for the Tigers. Baseball fans around the world are begging you, Pirates and Tigers, give us Skenes against Skubal. We want to see it. We need to see it. So be careful right now when you're making your bets. If you want to place an early bet, make sure you list pitchers because the pitching matchups could change. And so it might not be Skubal against Andrew Haney in game number one. These managers can change their minds. What we do know is that those pitchers will pitch at some point tomorrow. So if you are going to place your early bets, always make sure you list pitchers when it comes to doubleheaders with the uncertainty that you're going to get in these double headers. Same thing goes for Cardinals and the White Sox with their double dip. And the Cubs and the Brewers, no announced double header for that one, not on the schedule. Makeup not there just yet. So taking a look at if whatever we get with that Tarek Skubal game, I want to bet the first three innings to go under. Skubal's going to be a heavy favorite in whatever matchup it is. The Tigers were minus 300 tonight when it was supposed to be Skubal against Andrew Haney. And looking at the run line in the first five innings, you could lay minus 190, minus 185 if you want to lay the half a run with the Detroit Tigers in the first five innings. I also would like to, you know, you could just look at the team total for the Pirates. This was crazy. Team total for the Pirates in the first five innings was a half a run. Team total in the first three innings was a half a run. First three innings total was under 1.5 with the low total in that game. That's something that maybe I would rather take a look at or maybe go with that under a half run in the first three innings. Although it's so dangerous. You run into one pitch, all of a sudden it's a solo home run. You give up one run, but the under could still hit. I would just like to find any way to back Tarek Skubal on the mound there against a Pirates offense that is not hitting the ball lately. Speaking of not hitting the ball lately, the New York Yankees not hitting the ball lately as they lose once again to the Angels. Now six straight losses for the Yankees. They did snap their scoreless streak. 30 innings, no runs. They snapped that skid, but they still lose. Only two runs on three hits. They lose 3-2. They will look to avoid a four-game sweep at the hands of the Angels in a day game in the Bronx coming up tomorrow. Carlos Rodon is on the mound for the Yankees. Tyler Anderson for the Angels. I will be backing Rodon and the Yankees in the first five innings. I think that there's obviously a lot of pressure for them to get off to a fast start, a lot of pressure for them to hit early in games. Aaron Judge has been struggling. He is in a massive slump here. I'm going to be looking at the first five innings. Yankees on the run line in the first five innings right now, minus a half a run, minus 165. I think Carlos Rodon plays the stopper role. It's not like the Angels are scoring a ton of runs either. I mean, they only scored three runs, and one of them came on a bad error by Anthony Volpe in the eighth inning, and then they had the two solo home runs, like the Yankees had the two solo home runs. So Yankees, I think, avoid the four-game sweep. They get the job done. I do like backing Carlos Rodon there in the Bronx in the first five innings day game there for the Yankees, as the Angels might just be happy that they got the three games already and getting ready to get the heck out of the Bronx feeling really good about themselves. So give me the Yankees in the first five innings there backing Carlos Rodon. I'll lay the half a run. As for NBA Finals, game number six, I'm going to be on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't want to lay the 6.5. I want to wait until this line moves down once it is announced that Tyrese Haliburton plays. I do think Haliburton plays. I know that he's got a little bit of uncertainty with the calf injury. He had the MRI. He did practice in a little bit of a walkthrough. I just can't imagine him sitting out the game. But even if he does play or he doesn't play, I think a great way to attack this game is to look at the points plus assists prop for TJ McConnell. That's the prop where you want to look at. TJ McConnell, his points prop was jacked up from 9.5 to 10.5. I still like going over. TJ McConnell's been a big part of this offense. But points plus assists for TJ McConnell is at 15.5. He can just get you the 15.5 points. But I like going over because even if Tyrese Haliburton plays, he's not going to be at 100%. He's not going to be playing the full complement of minutes. And if he doesn't play, well, then you got TJ McConnell playing the bulk of the minutes anyway. I think TJ McConnell will be the leader of this offense as far as a point guard is concerned. So give me, as a best bet for this game, over 15.5 points plus assists for Pacers guard TJ McConnell. Best bets are brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSIN will complete the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. It's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. Head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. So I like TJ McConnell to go over the points plus assists. I do think we continue to get a big-time performance from Jalen Williams, and it just feels to me like the way Rick Carlisle figured out how to full-court pressure, slow down the offense of the Oklahoma City Thunder, it feels like in the fourth quarter of game number four and then in the entirety of game number five, it feels like Mark Daigneault then figured it out. Having Jalen Williams be the primary ball handler for the Oklahoma City Thunder instead of Shea, it clearly has worked out for them. And so I think now Daigneault and the Thunder took the Pacers' best punch. And now they've punched back, and this series is over. So again, I'm on the Oklahoma City Thunder to win. I don't want to lay the 6.5. I'd rather lay the 5.5. But if it's all we get is the 6.5, I still think we get home here. Thunder end this series. Thunder are your NBA champions, and they will be crowned tomorrow night in Indy. Coming up next, we got cashing out with Greg Peterson. He's going to be tracking all the baseball action that's in progress. Plus, Wes Reynolds will join for his best bets for the PGA this weekend. And then wake up tomorrow morning with VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m. Eastern. Can't wait to get Jensen's thoughts on this College World Series loss for Arkansas. And then a numbers game with the great Gil Alexander comes your way at 10 a.m. Eastern time as everyone gets ready for Game 6 of the NBA Finals. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network.